Our scripture lesson comes from Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 through 15. How do we combine a communion service, a 20th year anniversary, and continue our series that go along with our plan to read through the Bible in a year? I think this passage from one of our readings of the past week does combine those very themes that need to be before us. Hear the reading of God's Word, His infallible, His inerrant Word. Chapter 35 of Genesis. God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you, and purify yourselves and change your garment. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, so that I may make there an altar to the God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings that were in their ears. Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree that was near Shechem. And as they journeyed, a terror from God fell upon the cities that were around them, so that they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. And Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And there he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. And Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried under an oak below Bethel, so he called its name Alon Bakuth. God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him, and God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. No longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name." So he called his name Israel, and God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac I will give to you. I will give the land to your offspring after you." Then God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone. He poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. So Jacob called the name of the place where God had spoken with him Bethel. Pray with me. Almighty God, open our hearts and minds that we may behold wondrous things from this, your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this text, it seems to me that Jacob is reminded of God's past blessing. In verse 1, God tells Jacob, go back to Bethel, where Jacob had encountered God when he was fleeing from his brother Esau. He was to go back to this place that was an important place in his life, in his wanderings, and I believe it was a return that made him remember events in his past life. Certainly, he would remember what precipitated him coming to Bethel in the first place. He had deceived his own father. He had deceived his own brother. His brother was mad at him, contemplating an opportunity to put him to death, and so he left. He was on the run. And as he was on the run, he came to Bethel. He slept, and while he slept, remember, God appeared to him in a vision. Jacob saw a ladder, a staircase to heaven, and angels ascending and descending. And he said, "This place, this experience means that I'm in God's presence." And he called it Bethel, the house of God. He says it's a very gateway to heaven. There he was on the run for his deception, lying to his father and brother. He wasn't looking for God. He was running away, but God found him. God appeared to him in Bethel. At Bethel, God was gracious to him. No doubt he thought about those things that had occurred since then. He had gone on to his uncle Laban's. He had worked for 7 years for Rachel, the woman he loved, and then he got a dose of his own medicine on his wedding night. Laban substituted Leah for Rachel. What a shock that must have been. He had to work. He was given Rachel also a few weeks later, but he had to work another 7 years for her. And then, approximately 6 years beyond that, he labored for Laban, building up his own flocks. And finally, after all of that, he left and went back to Canaan, but not everything was rosy there. When he came back, who was the greeting party? Oh, his brother Esau. And he happened to have 400 armed men with him. But God got him through that, and he found peace with Esau. And then, still more trouble in the preceding chapter. You remember that his daughter Dinah was violated and his sons took upon themselves the responsibility of annihilating a whole city. All the men of a whole city. Jacob thought, I think, with some insight, that probably that would not put him in the best standing with other people of that area. So he was afraid. He had been away for 20 years. He had come back and now he was in a pickle again. What would he do? And God told him, go back to Bethel and build an altar to me there. What a great thing for us to remember God's provision, how God gets us through there 20 years of Jacob's life, and he could remember. I think sometimes when we're in a pickle, we focus so much on the problems, the difficulties, the hardship, that we forget God's providences. God had taken care of Jacob in spite of himself, we might say, but God had taken care of Jacob during all of that, all of the mess ups, all the mistakes, all of the sins against God. God had been with him. We need to remember God's past providence in our lives. I hope that this 20th anniversary will be an occasion for you to remember how God has blessed this congregation, how God has blessed your family, how God is taking care of you, not because you're so smart or so wise or so strong, but because God is faithful. I hope you will remember that God has gotten you through tough places in your life, maybe some of your own making, often difficulties, trials, suffering that not of your own making, but because we live in a fallen world. But God has been with you. God has blessed you. I hope that you will remember how we've ministered to one another over the past 20 years. How you wept with those who have wept and rejoiced with those who have rejoiced. How we've grown together. How we've grown in the Lord. And today we come to the Lord's table. We are to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, His life and His death and His resurrection, but also we are to remember that Jesus Christ is in our lives and a part of our lives. He is with us. Particularly, we remember today as we worship, He is in our midst. Every time the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, Jesus Christ is in our midst, preaching to us through His gospel. We certainly must remember what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, but today, as you come to the communion table, I want to remind you that Jesus is a living Savior. I want to call you to remember what Jesus has done, not only 2,000 years ago, but what Jesus has done in your life in the last 20 years. in the last year, maybe even in the last week, what Jesus has done in your children's lives, what Jesus has done in the lives of your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ. As you come to the Lord's table, remember we have a Savior, a living Savior, Jesus Christ. We have fellowship with Him and one another because Jesus died to be our Savior, to bring us to be a part of His body together. Remember God's blessing, God's presence, Christ's special presence in our midst today. Then the second thing, it seems to me, in this passage, we see a renewed relation with God. God not only reminded Jacob of what had happened in Bethel, but He called Jacob to worship Him again there. And I love the response. If we had more time, we could go in detail with each of these points, but I'll just kind of group them together. It seemed to me that there was, first of all, repentance and renewed obedience. Did you catch it in the text? He called His people together. He said, put away your foreign gods. Now, we might ask, why did they have those foreign gods in the first place? I imagine they drifted into that, just like we drift into sin. But the point is, He said, put those away. Do something about it. We're going to worship God and we need to get rid of that. And we're going to do what God has told us to do. There's a theme. They made a break with those things that were displeasing with God. As we come to the Lord's table, it's a time for repentance. But also, there's what I call worship and renewal of faith. Jacob came to worship God. He built an altar. And then after God blessed him, he put up a pillar and he anointed that, poured out oil on that, and he blessed God. You might say it was a memorial marker, but it was a marker for God. And it was a marker of worship. It's interesting. When he went into there's so many incidental points. He was afraid that the people in that area were coming after him because of what his sons did. But as he obeyed God and went to worship and build that altar, we're told that God put fear upon the people. God protected him. God met with him. God blessed him. That's what was going on in this renewal and worship. I think it's appropriate for us to say when we worship, God comes to bless His people. And certainly when we remember the Lord Jesus Christ and His life and His death and His resurrection, He's calling us to remember Him, remember His blessing, repent of our sins and renew our faith. How many times have we done this since we have formed Providence Presbyterian Church? About 120 times. About 120 times. And Jesus Christ has not missed a one of those appointments. He has been present to give His grace. Every time we gather in His name to worship Him, every time He blesses His people, He meets with His people, He calls us to repentance and a renewal of faith and love and new obedience. What better way to remember God's faithfulness than to worship Him and renew our faith? What better way to rejoice in the Savior who died for us and who lives for us than to worship Him and be renewed in our faith and our love for Him. When Jesus met with Thomas after His resurrection in the upper room, He said, "My Lord and my God." That's still an appropriate response to worship Him who is faithful, who goes with us in all of the warnings and wanderings of life. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Let us remember Jesus, who has been with us every step of the way and calls us continually to Himself and continues to show grace to us. 20 years ago, I had a ruling elder, now deceased, who came in and said, "Have you heard what some of the ladies are saying?" I said, "No. What are they saying?" This was before we had merged and built here and come here. We were trying to figure it all out. And he said, "Well, some of them are saying you don't know what you're doing." I laughed. And I said, "You know, here's what you can tell them. They're exactly right. We don't know what we're doing, but we're seeking God's guidance and God's grace." We knew it then. That might have been the best advantage that we had back then. That we knew we didn't know what we were doing, and we knew we needed God's grace. As we come to the Lord's table, maybe that would be a good thing to rekindle. Lord, we need You. Your grace, Your direction, Your power. We need You. But we have this advantage. We can reflect on how God was so good to us. Rejoice in that. Be renewed in your faith that we have that kind of Savior who still loves you and delights to meet with you. Come to His table and receive His blessing this morning. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness, and we thank You for Jesus Christ. Now, as the sermon continues to be preached before our eyes, may we be drawn to Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.